أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين، الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء، والكاظمين الغيظ، والعافين عن الناس، والله يحب المحسنين. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة وظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم، ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله، ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها، ونعم أجر العاملين. A writer by the name of Jose Edison wrote a book about the principles of happiness. In his book, he indicated that there were three prerequisites to live a happy life. One is to have something to do. Two is to have something to love. And three is to have something to look forward to. And it's quite interesting how many people go through life achieving nothing, not really knowing what life is all about or what they want to do in life, and probably never achieving happiness and letting their life go to waste because there's no purpose in life for them. We see a lot of people who work very hard, save money to try and retire and look forward towards retirement from work. And then once they've achieved their goals by saving enough money and they retire, you find them, surprisingly enough, going back to work or finding another job to do or finding something to do, getting themselves, you know, trying to occupy themselves, because they've achieved two of the goals. They've achieved the something to love. They probably have nice families and everything, and something to look forward to, which was retirement, but now they have nothing to do. So they try to fill this gap. Other people who are quite busy, and so busy with their life and making money and accruing money, expanding their businesses and wealth, that they forget to look for love in their love, in their life, and they miss this bit of life. And although they achieve the money and they achieve the happiness and they work towards something, they are unhappy because they are missing something. The third category is what we see a lot in celebrities, who work very hard for the name, to have a good name, to be popular, to accumulate richness. And then we see there's a very high instance of committing suicide amongst these people. Again, it's because they've achieved a couple of things only, but they forgot that this is not what it's all about. It's not all about money, and it's not all about famous. So essentially, there are three requisites for happiness in life. And this is why I recited these ayat at the beginning from Surah Al-Imran. Because, subhanallah, if we look at the Quran and look at examine these ayat, we find that the first part, it says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten for the pardon of your Lord and paradise extending over the heavens and the earth, laid out for those who were doing taqwa, who were looking out for God and looked out to what they were doing, achieving taqwa. And we'll discuss taqwa in a minute. And it's important to look carefully at these ayat, because what do these show us? وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. It's giving us something to do. We are working towards a maghfira. We are working towards the acceptance of Allah. We are working towards pleasing Allah. So that's something to do. مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٌ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. If we are working towards this God who is going to give us a jannah that's so big and is so kind to us, this is fulfilling the part of love. أُعِدَّتِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And also it's giving something to look forward to. So really, if we adhere to what we want in our religion, if we adhere to what religion offers us, we can actually achieve happiness even according to what human beings have categorized happiness to be. And it's important to look at the psychology of things. Ibn Ata'Allah was asked, why is it that Allah promises things in the Akhirah? What about the dunya? Although the dunya is, by the way, Allah also promises a good life for those who follow His instructions properly. But when he was asked about the Akhirah, he said, إِنَّمَا جَعَلِ الْآخِرَةِ مُحَلًّا لِلْجَزَاءِ لِعِبَادِهِ لَأَنَّ هَذِهِ الدَّارِ لَا تَسَعْ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِعِبَادِهِ. Because what Allah wants to give people who are doing taqwa is not enough. This world is not big enough for that. What Allah wants to give us is much bigger than what is available in this world. وَلَإِنَّهُ أَجَلَّ أَنْ يُعْطِيهِمْ فِي دَارٍ لَا بَقَاءَ لَهَا. And Allah is much kinder than to give the reward to something in something which is not going to last, because you know that life does not last. And that's why Allah tells us, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. So it is something to look forward to. And this is very important from a psychological point of view. That's why we find people who have real iman in their hearts, who have real belief. Usually they are serene, they are quiet, they are happy, they have a content life. And this is the psychology of religion, in a way. Now, the other part which is quite interesting in this ayah, where it qualifies al-muttaqeen, because it says that this is the Jannah has been prepared for al-muttaqeen. And it shows us what do they mean by this. And it says three things here. Al-ladina yunfiquna fi sarra'i wa dharra'. Those who spend in both ease and hardship. Wal-kazimina al-ghayz. And those who suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who pardon people. So, if we look carefully at what we're talking about here, Allah is teaching us to do things that go more or less against society's norms. Because in society, if somebody was to slap you, it's quite expected of you to slap them back. If somebody was to insult you, it's quite expected of you to insult them back. It does not mean that we turn the other cheek, but we are somewhere between the two. So we are able to suppress our anger. We don't just react in anger. And this is what Allah tells us to do here. And also it tells us to spend for sarra'i wa dharra', to spend whether you have money or whether you are rich or you are poor. And the importance of this is quite clear. So if you, for example, you had 10 million pounds and you spent 100,000 pounds, that's a lot of money. You give it to charity. But if you had 2 pounds and you gave 1 pound to charity, to Allah, this is much bigger than the 100,000 pounds. Because what you've given is something that is really dear to you. And this is what Allah is telling us here. وَالَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. And finally, it talks about al-afina an nas, those who forgive people. And this is those who pardon people. This is a very hard thing to be able to practice. There's a famous story about Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when there was the story of the fitna that happened, where people were starting to talk about his daughter, Sayyida Aisha. And one of them was called Mistah. Mistah was a poor man that Abu Bakr used to spend on. He used to support him every month by giving him money to support him to live. And Mistah was one of the people who started talking about Sayyida Aisha. And Abu Bakr was very angry, of course, because he thought, hang on, I'm helping this man and he's going out there talking about my daughter and harming his daughter and harming the Prophet And then the ayah in the Quran was, so he decided that he's going to stop supporting this man. He's not going to give him any more charity. And then an ayah was revealed that says, فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تَحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. So forgive and forget. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? And when Abu Bakr heard this ayah, he said, yes, I want Allah to forgive me. And he forgave Mistah and immediately started again supporting him. So this is a lesson for us to learn. So what I'm saying here is that this ayat teaches levels that we need to aspire to. And if we can aspire to these levels, then we actually achieve a higher level, which is the level of al-muhsineen, level of al-ihsan. We know the famous hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Angel Jibreel came to him while he was sitting with the Sahaba and told him, oh Muhammad, tell me about Islam, tell me about Iman, and tell me about Ihsan. We all know this quite well. And Ihsan is a higher level. So the first level in religion is Iman, just to have the belief. The second level is Islam, which is to practice. But the higher level is Ihsan. And this is the level that we should all aspire to. And this is the level that this ayah talks about. And when they were asked about Ihsan, what it was, the Prophet told us that Ihsan, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. You worship Allah as if you see Him. And even though you don't see Him, remember that He always sees you. Now, if we think carefully, what does this really mean? It means that in everything we do in our life, day-to-day life, we are watching Allah very closely. Everything we do, we're not doing it for the sake of people. So if somebody, for example, going back to these ayat, if somebody was to hurt me or insult me, I would not look at the person. I would ignore the person. I would look to what Allah would want me to do. I would try to please Allah. So whatever I do in my life, however I interact with society and with people, I'm not looking to society or people, I'm looking to Allah. And this is the level of Ihsan. It's not an easy level to achieve, but it is a level to aspire to. Because if we can achieve it, as a matter of fact, quite interestingly, we achieve happiness. Now, the students who have studied some psychology, I'm sure, are aware of Maslow's hierarchy theory. Abraham Maslow was a psychologist, and he described how to achieve what he calls self-actualization. And he says that if you can achieve this level of self-actualization, you achieve happiness. And I'm sure that those of you who studied it knows about the pyramid, where he says that, you know, if you can meet your physiological needs, then the safety, then the social needs, and then self-esteem, then you can achieve the highest level, which is self-actualization, which actually gives you real happiness. And according to him, only 1 in 100 people in society can achieve this level of self-actualization. However, Ihsan, if you think about it carefully, lets you achieve this self-actualization. So as a matter of fact, Ihsan does not only gives you the love of Allah, does not only guarantee you a higher place in Jannah, but it guarantees you happiness in this world. Subhanallah. So if we read Quran carefully, and we read what Allah is giving us, what Allah is instructing us to do. So let's go back to these ayat again, because we're running short of time. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْقَاضِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who practice ihsan. Say, let's all aspire to achieve this level. Because if we can achieve it, and it is achievable, because Allah would not advise us about something that is not achievable. If we can achieve it, then we will achieve happiness in this life according to what Allah is telling us, and even according to what our psychologists teach. And we will also achieve a lot of benefits in the hereafter, and we achieve a very high level in the hereafter, inshaAllah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, on another note, just to remind you that next week, inshallah, it's going to be the beginning of the Hijjah. And the first 10 days of the Hijjah are one of the most important days in the year. A hadith that was narrated on Ibn Abbas in Bukhari, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام," meaning the 10 days. There are no days where Allah likes good deeds more than these 10 days, the first 10 days of the Hijjah. قالوا يا رسول الله, the Sahaba asked, يا رسول الله, ولا جهاد في سبيل الله, not even fighting in the way of Allah, he said, ولا جهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله ثم لن يرجع من ذلك بشيء, except for one man who goes out to fight for سبيل الله, he spends all his money and his life and he does not return, and does not return with any of that. So this is how important these 10 days are. And this is how much we can achieve during these 10 days. So we should not just let them pass. I know that traditionally we think about Ramadan. And we all prepare for Ramadan. And we all try to aspire to do as much in Ramadan. But these 10 days are probably as important as Ramadan. The only big advantage in Ramadan over these 10 days is Laylatul Qadr. But these 10 days, as Prophet Muhammad told us, good deeds in, during these 10 days are much are rewarded to a great extent. Another hadith, he says, ما من أيام أعظم ولا أحب إلى الله العمل فيهن من هذه الأيام. There are no days where Allah likes good deeds more than these days. فأكثروا فيهن من التهليل والتكبير والتحميد. So during these days, do a lot of takbir, tahleel, and tahmid. So what can we do during these days so that we can prepare for them? As I said, it's going to be next week, inshallah. Most likely, it starts from Monday. So from Monday onwards, most likely, depends of course on the Hilal, but most likely it's going to be from Mondays. You've got 10 days which are an opportunity, a chance to do as much as you can. The best thing you can do during these days is go for Hajj. Because we know that الحج, العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. From عمرة to عمرة, Allah will forgive what's in between, and the حج المبرور forgives everything, wipes out everything. But however, unfortunately, we're not one of the lucky ones who are going for Hajj this year. So let's plan for other things. So what other things can be done for those who are not going for Hajj? The most important thing, or one of the good deeds, is Siyam. So we try to fast as much as possible. If you can fast the whole 10 days, it's great. But if not, try to fast as many of these days as you can, especially Yawm Arafah, which is the 9th day of the Hijjah. The hadith says, Siyamu Yawm Arafah, أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله والسنة التي بعده. And that's a very interesting hadith, because everything that we are tempted to do, it always says you kafir what is before it. But this one, this day in particular, will wipe out all the sins of the year before and the year to come. SubhanAllah, it's a strange, very, very strange thing. But it's, you know, we don't have time to go into this. But so if you can fast as much as you can during these 10 days, especially if you can't fast all these days or a lot of them, don't miss Yawm Arafah. It's a big opportunity to have all the sins of the previous year and the coming year wiped out. The second thing is a lot of takbir wa dhikr. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. So a lot of dhikr, a lot of takbir, a lot of tasbih, a lot of dhikr during these 10 days. So because of the lifestyle we're living and because of the fast lifestyle we're living, these 10 days will come and pass very quickly if we don't prepare for them, if we don't have a schedule for them. So from now, try to make a schedule. See what you're going to do. How are you going to change the pattern of your life to be able to make the maximum use of these days? And of course, a thing that you can do during this is a tawbah. Because Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. At-tawbah is not something that you do once in a lifetime. It's something that you do continuously. So it's a good chance during these 10 days where Allah accepts all the good work is to do a new tawbah. Taqdeed at-tawbah, to renew your tawbah. Kathrat al-nawafil. So a lot of extra prayers, night prayers, sadaqat, reading Quran. So these are all things that can be done. Takbir, a lot of takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. And the takbir during these days is takbir mutlaq, where you can do takbir all the time, and takbir muqayyad, which is after salawat, after the prayers. And this starts from Fajr Yawm Arafah. It starts from the Fajr of the day of Arafah until the end of the 4 days of Tashriq. 3 days of Tashriq, sorry. And then of course, one of the other things you can do is a nahr, is to slaughter a sheep and give it to the poor. And of course, don't forget Salat al-Eid, which inshallah will be carried out here. I'm sure it's going to be, announcement is going to be made. So a lot of things can be done in the next coming 10 days. So it's an opportunity, it's a chance for us all. Let's try to make maximum use of it. And let's not make these days go away without making use of them. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعدكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله